All right, welcome to day three of the Sales Bootcamp. I'm excited that you've made it this far. Today is a good one. We're going to be talking about what I like to call selling in stages in the Great Value Exchange. Yesterday, we talked about testing your processes, and this one fits hand in hand with that, because what I see so many times, and we talk about this quite often, is that we go out and we're trying to get a bunch of customers, right? Today, I want you to switch your mind from I need a whole bunch of customers to what should I be doing in my business day in and day out to move people more forward towards a decision. And what we're going to talk about is that these micro commitments that people make are more important than how many customers you get. The activity you get in your pipeline is really, really valuable. And essentially what we're going to talk about is I want to talk about the predictable ways that people make decisions and how to move them further, closer and closer to buying from you. Here's the question I ask all the time. How many of you have said, oh, I need like two more customers or five more customers this month? This is what happens all the time. And they say, how am I going to get those customers? The problem is you don't need more customers this month. You need to have been doing more things a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, so that those customers are a byproduct of the activity you do. Because it's not about the results that you get. It's the activity you put at the front end, right? And in technical speak, what I look at is these are called the results and the customers are called your trailing indicators. What I want you to start thinking about are your leading indicators. And these are the things like the number of leads that you're getting through your website, through your efforts, the number of appointments you have, the number of proposals you submit. Those are the true numbers that are going to test how well you do in your business. And the ones that are superstars in selling understand this fundamental principle that it's the activity that drives your results and not some magical ability for you to generate sales. It's not some kind of charm or charisma, anything like that. It's the stuff that you do. And now on this audio, I'll tell you, when I, years and years ago, I was, I like to share this story. I was put to the test and I had a boss and we were, you know, there was a lot of challenges with what we were doing at work. And we had fired one of the sales reps that I had been selling beside. And instead of hiring another rep, I went to our company president and I said, instead of getting this other rep, why don't you let me be the sole salesperson? At that time, the organization in our location was only about $2.3 million between two reps. And so to entrust that budget with one person, we went and we had lunch and he said, you know, I can't just do it on good faith. I want you to have some skin in the game. And so I put a number on the table. Let's put $4 million in this year. And he said, all right, but for you to have skin in the game, what if we did this? If you don't hit that target, you don't get paid. So I said, you know what, let's get to work, because I believed in what I was about to do. So that year, we moved the organization from $2.3 million in this location to $4 million. And the way that we did that is we unpacked what it would take to get that revenue per month, per week, per day. And we had to look at what actually had to happen each and every day to lead towards that, because I knew what my conversions were at each of these stages that I moved customers through. So it wasn't some magical thing I had to do. I didn't want to work harder. You needed to work smarter. So if we know that we should be focused on activity, I want you to think about your sales process and forget about trying to get money, because no money's really exchanged until about the third step of the process. And knowing that your customers actually buy in these stages is really important. So think about right from the beginning, your customers are unknown. They don't know about you. So you do marketing efforts, you do a bunch of stuff for them to put their hand up and say, I'm interested in this and I'm going to give you my attention. Then they go, okay, well, I really like what I'm hearing. I want to find out more. So what are they going to give you? They're going to give you their information. From there, your job is to get their info, get them on the phone, and perhaps get them in for an appointment, right? And if you get an appointment and they like what you're doing, your next step is to give them a proposal. And at no point up to these stages have you asked for their money. What you're asking for is from the lead stage, you want their eyeballs, you want their attention. The second one, you want their contact info, then you want their time, and then you want their consideration. So when you look at it, it doesn't matter what you're asking for. You need to give them something in exchange that they value that they're going to value just as much as these other things. And the truth is, whether you want their attention, their contact info, or their time, people value that just as much as they value their money. So remember that. So I'm going to ask you, what value do you give at each one of these stages? Or are you simply just asking them to give you something? This is where most people screw up. Now, in the blog post, of course, we've got this, I've got what I call the great value exchange. And at each stage, what can you give them in exchange for their attention, info, time, consideration, money? And of course, if you're looking at referrals, the transfer of trust, what do you give them so they'll give you their trust and their social capital and their network? Now, that's what we talk about. Most of you guys, well, not most of you guys, most people try and hit that home run. I want to get that customer. So I do a bunch of work to try and get customers. And then what happens? We become salesy. And it's the exact opposite of what we're talking about. So when you do that, you experience those inconsistent results. And you have this increased variation in your process, which we talked about in lesson two. But once you start to break down your process into these micro commitments, you actually make it so much easier for yourself. You just need to look and test at how well you do in these bite-sized pieces of your day-to-day. So here's an activity what I want you to do. Look at your business. How much money and revenue and customers do you want to make in the year? Set yourself a goal and then backcast that goal to, well, in order to get that many customers, how many customers do I need to give a proposal to? So in other words, if I give 10 customers a proposal, how many of them would be customers? And to get 10 proposals, how many appointments would I have to lead me to 10 appointments? It sounds simple. Then how many people do I have to talk to that are willing to book an appointment? And then how many people do I have to get contact info before they'll talk to me and all the way back to leads? If you do it this way, then you can start to identify how many leads and activities do you need to have each week and each month. And that's where you identify where you're weak and strong in each step of the process. I hope that makes sense. And this is something that when we work through this, I mean, it sounds simple, but when you do this activity, it actually makes you go, well, this is what I have to do every day and each week and month. And maybe I need more leads. Maybe I need more appointments. Maybe I need to test this. Maybe I need to test that. So work on that. The next part of this, I want to talk a little bit about some psychology, and I call it the power of reciprocity and concessions. This is one, you know, we're going to go through this pretty quickly, but I want you to sit on this idea. It's one that you already know. And the trick is everybody I talk to about this always nods in agreement. But the question I ask is, are you actually applying it? When you start to ask, you know, sell in these stages, you're going to ask for a commitment for somebody to move to a next step. What are you going to do if they say no? Well, most people say, okay, well, let me know when you're ready to move forward and blah, 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 right? Or we'll just keep following up and saying, hey, you know, I'm just checking in, seeing how you're doing, blah, 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 blah. And there's two words I wrote here is that make me die a little inside when I hear them. And they're discounting and chasing. Every time somebody says, oh, I have to discount that because I got a price objection. You know, we're going to talk more about objections just in your mind. But the other word is chasing. Oh, I'm chasing all these customers. Oh, I don't know what to do. You know, I got all these. And it kills me. I'm sad right now just thinking about it. Because when you're chasing somebody, it means you've done a really crappy job at the front end of getting some kind of a commitment from them. We call these commitment objectives, right? To stop from chasing, you need to have multiple commitment objectives in this pre-call plan. And it's just simply options that you have in your mind of how the customer can move forward. It's the idea of how should I buy from you versus should I buy from you? It's a really powerful thing. And I want you to take some time and think about this. Write this down. How should I buy versus should I buy? So you then say, let's talk about reciprocity, okay? Have you ever asked somebody for a favor? Absolutely. We all like giving favors. For example, just, you know, recently over the holidays, I got a package in the mail and it was a gift. It was a Christmas gift. And I went, uh-oh, I didn't get that person anything else. So if you're like me, what would you do? You would go out and you would run around finding a gift, packaging up, getting it ready, getting it in the mail in time so that they would receive it before Christmas, right? That is the power of reciprocity. When somebody does something for us, we naturally want to do something in return. This is also the same with what we call concessions, right? And this is something that I go in at length and when I show people how this works, there's tons of activities. But psychologist, if you've ever heard Robert Cialdini, explains in his articles and his talks on influence that there are two times when it's really, really powerful to ask for a favor or to ask for a concession. It's after somebody says thank you and after somebody says no. So when you want to ask for a favor, it's right after they say thank you, but right after they say no. Think about this. The best time to give some kind of a concession is after somebody rejects you. They're going to want to offer you a concession as well in return. So this is really powerful when asking for appointments. So give your best stuff away for free, okay? Are you afraid that when you give people your info, I had to get this all the time, what if I tell them everything I know and then they leave and they take it? Well, first of all, most people aren't going to run away with everything that you know and they're going to go apply it. Second of all, they don't have time to go and try and figure out all the stuff you know. Your job is to help them solve a problem in a better way than if they had to do it on their own. So that's never a problem. And when, you know, maybe some customers will run away with your stuff and they'll just go and apply it. And that's great because obviously the stuff you're doing is good. But if your best stuff is only after they buy from you and they never buy, does it exist? You know, chicken and the egg. So what can you offer your buyers at each stage that shows them you have a ton of value? And when you start to think about giving to them first rather than taking, it's going to put your mindset in the right place. It's going to remove what we talked about last time about money priming, right? You become this trusted resource and a valued partner. Okay, so let's go back to the reciprocity and concessions. If you know that nothing happens unless people meet with you, then wouldn't logic tell you that every single person you talk to, you should ask for an appointment? Right? How many appointments are you asking for? And now if you know that people are inclined to do you a favor after they say no, well then wouldn't that be the right moment to ask to give a concession? For example, the role play here, if you're talking about your product, say, you know, I'd love to meet with you and talk about this idea. I have some things I want to go through with you. And I think we can look at finding some results and some return on investment. When are you available to meet with me for 30 minutes? Let's sit down and go through it. And they might say, well, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready yet and I'm going to get back to you, which is a no, right? Or if you say, hey, do you want to meet? And they say no. You might go and say, oh, well, okay, well, let me know, blah, blah, blah. But instead you say, hey, great, you know what? I get it. Now's not the right time, but can you do me a favor? Can I get your email? Let me send you some stuff. I have some resources, some of those tips that we just talked about. I'm going to send you my like three things that I think that maybe you could look at that'll help you move forward. And then we'll talk in the future how we can move forward. Maybe we'll set up another call, that kind of stuff. And I got some research you're going to find really valuable. If they still say no, your next commitment could just be at least let's have another phone call. The lesson here is that people are really inclined to say yes to that next favor, right? So you have to have these multiple commitment objectives at each stage that you're selling in. And the part of the psychology and the research is if you don't ask for that concession or that favor in the moment, if you try and ask for that same favor next time, they're going to treat that as a new request and are more likely to say no to that. So think about that. Right? So I just went through some stuff that's really, really important, really powerful, and it's just tested and proven, and you want to go and apply it. So here's what I suggest you do. Lesson two and three. Lesson two is all about testing. Lesson three is all about selling in stages. So go out and test this out. Go and try some new language that you're putting together with 10 people this next week. Go and find some people in networking or some previous leads and ask every single one of them to book an appointment with you. Get uncomfortable for a moment and ask for an appointment, okay? Then, for any of the ones that say no, ask them to do you a favor and be willing to send them something that's crazy cool value that they can take action on. A PDF, a video, a survey, checklist, anything like that. Then review how people move forward on this, right? See what insights you gain from your process of this testing and see how you could be more effective and maybe solicit some feedback and then see how you did, right? I want you to be willing to get uncomfortable to do this stuff. See, getting your customers to take action is really, really powerful. Most of us think that just trying to convince somebody to change their attitudes is the way that we have to sell. But in reality, to get somebody to change a behavior, an attitude, or an idea, you need them to change their activities. Remember, we talk about action over mind over matter. Forget about trying to change their mind. Get them to change their behavior, okay? These are really powerful tools. So go and test this stuff out. Tomorrow, oh man, it's going to get good. We're going to get into a little bit about the brain psychology and how people like make decisions. We're going to talk about the three parts of the brain and how we react to decisions based on emotion. And most likely, you've been speaking to the brain the wrong way all along. You've been speaking to the wrong part of the brain. So we're going to go through that. And I'm really excited to talk to you about that. And again, of course, there's some ideas, some posts you can check out here. So tomorrow we're getting into brain stuff, getting into the neuroscience. I'm stoked about that. I look forward to talking to you then.